Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of September.
You voted. You get Joe Ingles on Get to Know today. Plus, I talked to Derek Favors a little bit about his health, his mindset, and where he is. I'll share you some of those thoughts on how he's coming along. Plus, a nice little announcement about Locked On Jazz. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Just dropped this morning Locked On NBA with Ben Golliver, who does really good work for Sports Illustrated. He and Rob Mahoney are must-reads. And actually, I should do that. I should do a must-read show for you. And it's about the SI Top 100 list. It's really, really good. So make sure you grab that and take a listen to it, download it, however you do. Listen to the program. So I've got a fun little announcement about today. Then you guys got to vote on who you wanted to see as your get to know today. I might just do that every day for you. Mid-afternoon, evening, drop who you want for the next get to know. I have them done and I have them scheduled, but I might as well just do it that way. And you voted for Joe Ingles. It's a good in-depth conversation. So we'll have that for you. Today's show, and a fun little announcement in a minute. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. I went down and saw Blake the other day, and saw Murdoch Hyundai. I learned something. I don't know if all car dealerships are like this. I didn't know this. So Blake Murdoch actually just buys the cars that are on his lot from Hyundai. And literally, like when you hear those ads and they say, like, we got to move these ads because new cars are coming in. That's actually, for him, it's actually true. I don't know if that's true for everybody. But in his case, his deal is he buys the car. That's a lot out in front. And then has to move them. So it's part of the reason why they have such incredible prices, like the $5,750 off the Elantra right now. Or this great deals on the Sonata as well. As I've told you, so in the past, I've driven the Santa Fe Sport. That blew my mind. I really was wildly impressed by every aspect of it. And there's a story that Robbie Bosco went down to the Linden store looking for a Lexus, but stopped by to see Hyundai and actually ended up with a Hyundai. And it sounds like a crazy story if you don't know Hyundai. And at the time, I was like, okay, sure. And I have to tell you, now that I've driven the Santa Fe, that story makes sense. So I got a new one yesterday from them and to experience it. And it's the Ioniq, the hybrid. From Park City to Salt Lake, which I know is downhill, we averaged 90 miles per gallon. It came out to 53 miles per gallon going back and forth last night. When I got it at a full tank, I 600 plus miles until I had to refill the tank. And it's really solid. We have the first edition Prius that we drive up and down the canyon, and we call it the lawnmower. And we always joke, like, if someone cuts us off and we lose momentum, we're in trouble. This was not the case at all. So really, if you're in the market for a hybrid, this is the tests have showed. I went and Googled it last night to see some more about it after I drove it. The tests show that the Ioniq is actually the most fuel efficient car other than an electric car. So check it out. Add that to the list. And over at with 4646 South State Street with Blake, he's a great guy. So here's my little announcement. It's kind of a soft launch. I don't want to get too excited about, but this is the plan and this is real. But there is a new website called LockedOnJazz.net. Somebody owns LockedOnJazz.com. We'll get it from eventually, hopefully. LockedOnJazz.net is the new site. and it's where I'll be writing a bunch. And then I'll probably be adding some people to a staff to write on it as well. So that's the plan to kind of blow it out a little bit. I guess it could be the Bill Locke version of Bill Simmons' Grantland for the Jazz. Is a little bit of my thought on it. So we'll try to build it out, have some good writers on it, and really have it be the place for you for all of your Jazz news. It's LockedOnJazz.net, and that launched today in coordination with FanRag Sports. By the way, each of your NFL teams will have a LockedOn.com as well. So check that out, and you can get the Locked On NBA podcast with Ben Golliver right there. You can get all of our podcasts right now. It just has our podcast. It will have written content where Empty the Noggin will be, all those kind of things. So check it out, LockedOnJazz.net. Kind of excited about it. So we'll hear from Joe Ingles here in just 1 second, but I talked to Derek Favors a good deal yesterday. I've watched him. He's moving much better. It was interesting. Derek it's been fun to watch him grow up. Last year sucked. And he's really interesting about how much pain he actually played in. I think a lot of it's on tape, and we'll have that in the interview. But, you know, talking to him, I mean, he just was dying during the playoffs, he said. He was just dying. And so I think Derek, in a lot of fans' minds last year, may have gotten a reputation, a little bit of can't get healthy, malingerer. And if you listen to Derek, he doesn't actually ever comment on that, but he just talks about the pain he was in. And it was a tough year for him. I think it was a tough year on the court. I think it was a tough year off the court for him. It was just a bad 12-month period of time. He worked incredibly hard. The story at this time last year is that a coach walked up to him and said, "You got a choice right now. You can become blank," and I'm not going to say who the player's name is. That's not fair. And the player they're talking to has had a nice 12, 13-year career, nothing spectacular. Or you can work and become the next guy. And he worked and then got hurt early and never got right and got worse and worse and worse. I actually asked him if he's watched film of himself from last year, and he said no. He has not. And so, you know, just kind of, he was interesting. I said to him when the interview was over, I said, you know, a year ago, we're talking about whether you're the best player on the team. It's like, I know, and I'm going to be. He believes it. The new medical staff is doing a lot of work with him. I think he's moving better this week than he moved last week. Just visually. I mean, he just didn't move. He just didn't move right last year. At all. So that's exciting. He's added some range to his game. You know, there are things he can do that Rudy can't do. You know, we don't win that playoff series probably if Rudy doesn't get hurt and Derek doesn't get forced into the position to have to get out on the floor and guard Chris Paul, because he's better out on the floor guarding people than Rudy is. And so if Derek can get back to healthy, that'd be great. I mean, the medical staff, from everything I'm hearing, really believes that he can get healthy. And that, to me, that's been one of the main questions I've been asking. It's like, can he? And if you just think about the drop he took, I mean, at 24 years old, he was averaging 16 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists a game, a steal, a block and a half. And he was a beast. And by midway through 25, he looked like he was 90 and couldn't move at all. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, like, well, how can that happen? And shouldn't, you know, and it was interesting because he's Brian Zettler, who was the trainer last year, he's really close with. And so when I started to kind of go down the road with him about the medical staff, I got a lot of resistance, understandably so, because he and we all feel the same way. Brian did, you know, is a great dude, worked really, really hard. You know, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea if he did a good job or a bad job. I mean, I just don't know enough. It's not that I'm trying to criticize. I don't even have any idea. Right. Like I don't know. And so And so he was quick to say, like, when I was asking about the new medical staff, he's like, hey, BZ's my guy. And I said, hey, I'm not criticizing BZ. I just want to know about the new staff. Like, I'm just looking forward positively. And then he said, they seem to be able to get me to move. They're seeming to be able to – they're doing some different stuff. They have and they're very confident about where they can get him. So, that's really just a – at this point, everything's positive right now. How much of it's realistic, who knows. But if it really was a bone bruise and not a back problem, which I think is important, then this gets interesting because this kid can really play. I mean, this was a pretty fabulous player that the Jazz once had who just lost all body movement a year ago and suddenly wasn't very good anymore. And then if you listen to him, which I think is an interesting perspective, really gamed it out at an incredible level to show – give the Jazz a playoff win and was miserable while doing it. So that interview's coming up for you. You can vote for it coming up. I was just looking up right now as we – over the last 2 years, so when Gobert and Favors were on the court together in the 2017-18 season, when Derek wasn't right, the Jazz defensive rating was 96.5. That the previous year going to – NBA Wowie now, whose numbers are a little different, the defensive rating was 98.9. And the offensive rating was a 110. I mean, these two went on the floor together. In fact, let's just change a date here and just run it for let's see, 2016. I actually want 2015, don't I? If I want the last 2 years, 15, 16, 16, 17, yeah. Let's see. So I'm running the last – well, I was trying to run the last 2 years of Favors and it's not working. All right. So I won't get that for you. Too bad. I was trying to see if I could get NBA Wowie too, but I can't get it to change – I can't get NBA Wowie to change to 2015 for me for some reason. All right. So that's – but I think you get the point on that. All right, let's get to know Joe Ingles. Thanks to Murdoch Hyundai for the sponsorship of today's program. If you want to have your company advertised, right here would be where they would go. If you're looking to reach men between the ages of 25 to 54, even 18 to 44, why would you not want your company right here, right now? That's what you would get at a reasonable price based on amount of listens we get. Feel free to email me at dlock09@gmail.com. Podcast listeners are 65% more likely to respond to sponsors than other forms of advertising. Here's get to know number three. Jonas Jerebko and Epe Udo are the previous two if you didn't hear them, and here's Joe Ingles.
If you took me back down to your hometown, what would you show me? And, what are the things in your hometown you'd want us to see?
I think we got a really good tall and small shop, so you could go in the small section of that, like little baby jeans and baby t-shirts, which you would fit in perfectly. My hometown's kind of not really known for too much. Adelaide itself is City of Churches, is what the nickname, I guess, is. I'm not a big whatever you call it.
Historian.
we've got a few good restaurants, coffee. It's a very quiet city, so there's not a whole lot to do. It's kind of like Salt Lake. It's not a whole lot to do, but some really good coffee and places, restaurants, very good people like Salt Lake. I take you to Magic. It used to be called Magic Mountain. It's like a little... fake mountain, and there's like games inside of it, so you could play like some video games and what the kids do before they go to the movies. So you could do that. We'd make it work.
And I'd have my short jeans. How many brothers and sisters did you have? What was the family birth order?
Just mum, dad, and then an older sister and me.
If you took me back to your childhood room, what would it look like?
It's kind of probably a little bit. But so me and my sister, whatever age it was, like early teens, got to choose to paint our rooms whatever color we wanted, and I picked baby blue for some stupid reason. I had my room was actually a study, like an office, so it was tiny. It had like a single kind of bed or whatever, a little tiny little cupboard and a little thing with a TV on it, and I could, like, I had to hop out of the bed and I was like basically touching the TV. My sister picked like cow print, so she had white walls with like cow patches all over it. So I don't know what was going on in our household when we were young, but we both weren't thinking straight.
Why do you wear numbers? Two.
Because seven's retired. I'd always wore seven. I wear it with the national team. I've worn it pretty much every team I've been on. I asked for it not knowing a lot about the Jazz before I came here and got very quickly shut down. Then I actually asked for number 22nd. And again, I was 20 in Barcelona, so that was kind of my second number. Got shut down on that, obviously. I could take it now again.
Be a lot of scotch tape on the back of jerseys.
There would be. Or you just peel it off and keep it number two. And then I didn't really know what number to be honest. And my mom born on the 2nd of October. Now I've got two kids, so it kind of works a little bit. And one of my very, very good friends is number two in the Australian rules football, and he always said to me, if you can't pick number seven, be two. And it was open, and it just kind of worked out. And now I really like it. I really like it now, so.
What's the most memorable moment of your career?
Probably my first Olympics is always going to stick out. I was 20 years old. Was like kind of on the brink of making or not. A couple of guys got injured, and I got in as a 20-year-old, which was something I never thought of, going to Olympics full stop, but then obviously getting to play and make one at 20, and now I've gone to three of them. Last year's playoffs was something that I'll always remember, after the first couple of years of kind of getting close and working through the injuries we had, and that whole kind of drama, I guess, for 2 or 3 years, and then to finally kind of get healthy. And I guess we were still beat up a little last year, but to get our guys healthy, get our team out there, make the playoffs, and then actually kind of put a crease in it and not just make it and get swept and go home. We obviously got that great win against the Clippers, which for me was even nicer as well. And then obviously got swept by the Warriors. But to those two things will always stick with me. Just being in Utah as well, being not drafted but being selected, and obviously now being able to stay here for 7 years, it's great.
Kind of get a little deeper here. There's two books out that are very popular in elite athletics right now. One's called Grit by Angela Duckworth, and the other's Daniel Coyle's Talent Code. And a lot of them are just about perseverance and things. Your career kind of exemplifies it. So just on the first level, like, what made you believe you could make it?
I probably nearly did give up, to be honest. I guess I always knew I wasn't like the best player. I was never the most talented in junior stuff. I was never first picked on any teams or anything like that. I went to Europe after not getting drafted, which I kind of expected, obviously, just being a random kid from Australia. That I played in Australia. I didn't come over to college. And then, I mean, there's nothing that anyone's ever said that sticks with me, that like you'll never make it, or you're too small or skinny, or like there was like I never had one of those moments like a lot of people actually do have. But I always felt like after my first few years in Europe that I could really help the right team. I didn't know which team that would be. I had no idea. I hadn't even looked at it, to be honest. Then getting the time that I was like, all right, well, maybe I'm just not, was when I got cut by the Clippers, and I was like, all right, well, I had a crack. I've done two summer leagues. I've done training camp now. Obviously, I'm not good enough, and we'll I've got a European passport. I'll go back and make decent money and live a decent lifestyle over there. And it is what it is. And as silly as it kind of, not silly, I guess, but Renee's probably been one of the biggest, not just supporters, but she was cut from her Australian team after making it for several years. And I guess to see the kind of firsthand the work she put in to get back, she moved to another state to get under a new coach and kind of restarted her whole life, really, like in terms of eating and lifting and how she went about the whole business. And I kind of got to see that firsthand for a few years after, and ended up getting back in the team and was vice captain and won two gold medals after that, and has retired now, one of the top Australians to play. So to see that, and she was the one when we got to the Clippers, and she flew over to LA, and I'd just been cut. I was like, kind of like, F the world, and everyone hates me, and this is the worst thing ever. And we went out for lunch, and she kind of just got me back on track a little bit, I guess. And still didn't know I was going to be over here. I still thought maybe I'll go home for a little bit. I hadn't been home for 5 or 6 years, so I'll spend a few months at home and then just go back to Europe eventually and finish out the season with someone. And got the call from these guys. I think it was the next day. And that was the point where I was like, all right, I'm not letting this one go. Like, this is it. This is it. I'm 27. This is it. I'm either going to make this team or I'm going to get cut again, and I'll be in Europe. So I was like, I'm putting everything into it, and passed up my first 400 shots in the league to to try and get kicked out. But I obviously just kind of was trying to fit into to the team, find my role, and very happy it worked out this way.
So I was reading this book this summer, and actually when I grabbed this quote, I totally thought of you. To do anything really well, you have to overextend yourself. You have to do something over and over that's unnatural until it becomes natural. When you hear that, what comes to your mind?
Everything from the day I got cut from the Clippers, probably. I was never... Even before I got to Utah, I think everyone just kind of... I got labelled, I guess, a little bit as a shooter, but I didn't think I was that good a shooter. I was okay in pick and roll, but I wasn't great in pick and roll. I could play defense when I was focused, but I wasn't always focused on it. And like I said, it was that day that I was like, when they called and I said, yeah, let's do it, it was like, I need to do everything I can, and I need to become great at a few things, and I need to cement myself, otherwise I'll be back playing in Europe again. And I didn't, not that I didn't want to do it, but it was the lesser of what I wanted to do. And with Renee's help, and obviously massive credit to Quinn for bringing me over, and Dennis for actually getting me here. But it's one of those things. For me, it's kind of just, it feels like it was just a natural fit from day one. And I'm very, very glad I'm here, and I'm very glad I got to re-sign a couple of times, and hopefully retire here soon. Or not soon, but
final thing, what makes you come back out every day? You're tired. Just what makes you get back out every day?
Oh, a few things. I mean, I obviously love basketball. I still love playing. I still love getting better. I still think I can get better. My family, my wife and kids are... my wife was always, a bit of motivation, but then you throw the kids in there too, and it kind of turns it up to a whole new level. To make them proud, to make my family proud, and... I guess the last thing is just with the fans and the city, especially now that I've got to know the city and the fans and, like, all you guys and media, everybody. I just love everything about the city and the people and everything, and would love to bring a trophy back here one day for the team and the fans. And I think Rudy's the other one that's kind of stated it too. Like, we won't stop until we have the chance to do that. So,
thank you very much.
No worries. Thank you.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the wraith. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's R, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.